Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew 24, verses 36 and 37. But of that day and hour no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be.
Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see all of you out this morning. I hope that this message will inspire you to know and to trust that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That we cannot trust in anything but God's word, that we cannot believe in anything but his word, and that as time winds up and as we draw closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ, we must make sure our anchor is planted firmly and securely. It's nice to see David out this morning. Amen. I'm going to read in your hearing from Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to start at verse 34. It says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father and my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Shall we all bow our heads? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, these words were echoed by your Son, Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago. And the prevailing evidence of truth is that it sustains itself. It is evident because it stands like a reed in the wind. It stands and shines forth the light and the brightness of its essential elements of truth. Today we live in the final moments and chapters of Earth's history. And it's time, it's past time, that we realize and make sure our calling and election is sure. So we come before you with bended hearts, arms stretched forth, asking you to please forgive us for all of our sins and all of our unrighteousness. I ask you, dear God, to help me to be better than I was yesterday, today. Forgive me and all my brothers and sisters of all of our sins. Keep us close to you. Draw us closer to your word, and help us to believe and trust in only you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Lights out. Lights out. In the late 1930s, there was a radio program, a classic radio serial, actually. It was full of suspense, drama, intrigue, imagination, and even horror. It was known for its witty script writing, and it was known for this very famous opening line that was made famous by an actor called Arch Obler. "It is later than you think." It is later than you think. For the listener, numerous episodes left you with cliffhangers, as if time is running out. Well, over 80 years later, fiction has become reality. These infamous words are now very providential. Jesus' work in the most holy place is almost complete. I'll say it again. Jesus' work in the most holy place is almost complete. Amen. His work, which is taking place right now in heaven, the investigative judgment, is near its conclusion. God the Father is slowly pulling back his hands of mercy and flexing his muscles and loosening the winds of strife throughout the four corners of this earth. God, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will soon say these famous words, "Enough's enough. It is finished. The judgment is set." From the celestial halls of the most holy place, from the hallways of the everlasting to the everlasting, to the gates of the New Jerusalem, a statement will be set and said, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." There will be no more time. It is later than you think. He says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according to what his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the last. Blessed are they that do my commandments. Blessed are they that they may have a right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates of the city." We are only 3.5 months into the year 2010. 3.5 months. There's been 15, 16 weeks of this year. And do you know that we've nearly had a natural catastrophe almost every week of the year? Every week of the year. I was scouring the internet last night looking up meteorological reports. In the last decade, from 2001 to 2009, we never had 7 earthquakes in a span of 40 days. Never. What's happening? God is shaking this planet. He's trying to wake you up and wake me up and wake our neighbors up. He's saying, "Enough's enough's." Jesus is walking through the halls of the most holy place, and he's getting to the back door. He's taking his broom, and he's going to the corners, and he's about to do the finishing touches. It's almost over. On April 15th, 2 days ago, was a 6.9 earthquake in China. And you know what? It was just like everything is kumbaya. Indonesia had a hurricane on the plateau of a tsunami, and everything was like, oh well. We had a volcanic ash that is erupting to this day, been erupting every minute of the day in Iceland. Took place 16 miles beneath the Earth's surface. Cracked the glacier 560 feet thick. Is spewing ash 7 miles high, 7 miles wide. It has shut down a continent with all of man's technology, radar systems, satellite systems. Nothing can move. You can't see through the cloud. GPS won't work. You can't sense through the storm, because in order for satellite transmissions to work, you have to have a satellite and a receiver on the ground. The Earth's cap from London to Moscow is like a sheet of glass. And they say God doesn't exist? Can I get a witness? It is later than you think. Lights out. Let's look up James chapter 5, New Testament. James chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. James chapter 5, New Testament. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Once you found it, please say amen. James chapter 5. James is after Hebrews. And it's before Peter. James chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Go to now, ye rich men, and weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as if it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and cries of them which have reaped and also entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the days of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until ye receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Yesterday it was reported, which totally shocked me. Shouldn't have shocked me, but it did shock me, that this recession, this economic calamity that we're living in right now, that has put America and the whole planet in a set of course of action that cannot be reversed, was self-inflicted because of greed. A group of men, you can look it up tonight, called the Paulson Hedge Fund, bet on the failure of middle-class Americans and poor people in this country simply to make money. From 2007, 2008, when Burns and Stearns and Lehman Brothers and the banking system are falling down, one man made $3.7 billion legally. And the government yesterday said, oh no, and filed a lawsuit against Goldman Sachs. Said that these guys were in conclusion to start a ball and chain of circumstances that cannot be reversed. Greed. Greed. James chapter 5 says, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. The whole country, the whole world now is trying to figure out how can we reverse it. But you know what? Making money like this is addictive like a drug. They're like junkies. They got a fix and they can't be quenched. God is sitting high and looking low. And he says, how can the just sustain itself and be alive and be able to survive? Let me let you know this. The pillars of our society, our banks, our monetary system, our industrial base, the technology that we crave and believe in so much, can all be blown away by God's blink of his eye. He can cause a hurricane to come, or a volcano to erupt. where all this technology will be useless. I mean, when the blackout took place in, up here in 2003, I was in downtown Albany, lights flashing. Actually, I was at the Steuben Athletic Club at the time. The emergency lights went on. I didn't even know that was the old YMCA of Albany. I learned it on that day. It was also a World War II bunker. Emergency lights came on. The director came on and said, stop what you're doing. Move to the closest exit. Came outside. Pearl Street shut down. State Street shut down. No power. And I'm trying to hike it back over to Troy. That night, it's pitch black. Pitch black. With all of mass technology from New York to Maine, from Buffalo to Boston, to New Jersey, down the Eastern Seaboard, no power. No power. Take a guess of how they tripped the system to come back on. Do you think some engineers from MIT and from RPI and Cornell was in a lab someplace rubbing some sticks together, working on a circuit board? Take a guess. Take a guess. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. We live very close to it. One of the seven wonders of the world. You know what it is? Niagara Falls. Water power. They turn to God's power. Can I get a witness? They turn to the water. They use a Ghanaian nuclear power plant outside of Rochester, tied into the whole system from Ohio to Chicago. They tied it into all the lakes and the streams. And it was God's power that turned the system back on. And if God can turn it on, he can turn it off. It is later than you think. What is going to keep you? What do you have your faith and hope anchored in? What is going to be the prevailing thought in your brain and your mind, the essence of your being that's going to say, you know what? I'm going to make it because of this. Because of this. What is it going to be? Well, I'm going to share a brief story with you. It's not a long story, but it's a brief story that I think for those of us who will see, if the Lord doesn't put us to sleep, see the end of time, that may give a glimpse to how each of us may be saved. And let me just say this to you. If you go through a trial or tribulation, and if you've been praying for something for a long time, it gets to a point where you have to ask yourself, what if? What if all hell breaks loose? What if? What if all of my security is gone? What if? What if all of my provisional stashes has now been eliminated? What if? What if my support and pillars are eroded? What if? What if my escape golden parachute doesn't open? What if? What if that ripcord has broken? The elasticity is no longer. What if? I believe you may agree with me. Before you can have a testimony, you may need to have a test. Before you can tell someone how you got over, maybe you need to cross over. Before you can go through, you must be in so you can get out. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Paul had a Damascus Road experience. He has now been preaching for several years. Paul has been going throughout the whole new world, the known world, I should say, telling people about the man that he met when he was blinded, the man that he met that came to him and told him that you've been persecuting me and now I want you to be one of my soldiers, about the man that he met that convinced him that his whole hope and soul existence will be to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's start off at verse 15. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up the wind, we let her drive, and the running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work come by the boat, and when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, strike sail, and so were driven. So they got off on the land, they got out to sea as quickly as they can. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest the next day, they lightened the ship. That means they threw some things overboard. And the third day we cast out with our hands the tackling of the ship. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and of whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I what? I believe. For I what?
Believe.
I believe God, that it shall be as even as it was told me. There will be no loss of life. Let's look at verse 22 again. And I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. But of the ship. Therefore, the ship could be destroyed, but your life will be shared, will be spared. What am I trying to share with you? Don't put your anchor in your bank account. Don't put your anchor in your retirement fund. Don't put your anchor in your 401k. Don't put your anchor in your job. Don't put your anchor in that building that you go to work to every day. That is God's blessing and gift to sustain you. But that's not your everlasting hope. Don't put your anchor in that. Because if he blows on it, it will go. Don't put your anchor in the land. I heard my whole life growing up, you're a McKnight, fifth generation since Reconstruction. And my parents were very big on land. Grandparents, big on land. Okay? But it was very evident that when my grandfather died, one of the last things he told my father, he said, everything else may pass away. He said, but this land that you see, it's only for a moment. For there's a place that is far greater, far more expansive, much more everlasting, much more beautiful than what you see here. You got to look over. You got to look beyond. You can't look at what you have right now. You can lose it in a blink of an eye. Because if you put all your faith in what you can do, you will fail. I'll say it again. If you put all your faith in what you can do, you will fail. It has to be someone greater than you. It has to be someone stronger than you. Trust me. Satan comes after what you love the most. If you love your family the most, he's going to come after it. If you love your house the most, he's going to come after it. If you love your career the most, he will come after it. If you love your money the most, he will come after it. You in love with your land, he's going to take it. But if you love Jesus, if you love Jesus, he's already defeated him on Calvary's cross. He can't take that away. God told Job in chapter 32, just in case somebody looked this up, let me make sure I'm right. God told Job in chapter 38, I believe, and 39, who set the stars in space? Can you change your height? Can you alter your dimension? Job reached a point which you and I will have to do through our trials and tribulations and our struggles. Job reached a point where he said, enough's enough. And he leaned back and he says, I will wait until my change come. I can't do it on my own. I can't overcome this challenge, this trial, this tribulation, this overwhelming drought of bad news and failure that has besought me. I can't do this on my own. He said, I will wait until my change comes. That's what you and I are going to have to do. We're going to have to wait. Time and space with God is unlimited compared to our finite dimension of time. We work on time. We wake up and organize everything we do on time. We got microwaves downstairs that are set on time. I was cooking popcorn last week for movie night. And everything was going off. I was like, okay, I got 30 seconds over here. Just running around all on time. But if I were God, no blasphemy, I would have said, be done. And we had nothing but popcorn. No limitation with God himself. Because I believe God's objective is the goal. A transformation of your heart and my heart to believe solely in him. He doesn't care how long it takes, but we do. And because we do, we live in a system. We live in a qualified, contained system that limits our imagination of what the possibility are with God. But if we believe, we may have an experience like Paul does here in chapter 27 of Acts. Let's turn to James chapter 4. Verse 7-8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify ye hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God is calling us to a higher place. Time is running out faster than we think. We have placed our hope and our faith in institutions and pillars in our society that were not meant to last forever. They were meant to sustain us for a season. But the unique challenge here is that we must exist where we are until the Lord comes. So someone may be asking me, well, how are we going to get through? How are we going to navigate? How are we going to get to the other side? We can't change our dynamics. We can't transform ourselves beyond where we are. And I would say you are right. But the issue here is what's facing us is that the devil doesn't care. How can I say this? The devil really doesn't care when you stop believing, so long as you do stop believing. I'm going to say that again. The devil doesn't care when you stop, so long as you stop. It's not by chance we have missing members from church and members from many churches, because we're all under siege. Like Cleo prayed this morning, there is joy and communion and strength and fellowship. Now, you may not believe that, but there is. You learn from your neighbor. You learn from your brothers and sisters in Christ. You share with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Even if you don't tell them your whole story, just by their presence and you being around other people who believe in God, God's portion is there even greater and even more. You know why? Because for these few moments, the devil is held at bay. Not that the devil's not in here, but God is in here also. Amen? When you go in your car and you go back home, the devil's going to be there. But we have to invite God in. You have to invite God in when you wake up in the morning. You have to invite God in when you sit down and have your meal. You have to invite God in when you're out doing your chores. That means you can't watch everything on TV. You can't listen to everything on the radio. You can't look at every magazine that comes across your hand or scour everything on the internet, because you're allowing the devil in more than you're allowing God in. You can't watch every video. You can't do that. There must be a balance. What I need is a little small device. This device helps sustain ships. This device helps sustain every nautical vessel that is on the open sea. Does anyone know what it is? Call a gyroscope. A gyroscope is at the lowest point in the hull of a ship. You know what it does? It keeps it in balance. It keeps the ship in balance. When you're out at sea, a flat bottom boat cannot go across the water. I know you guys know that, right? A flat bottom vessel cannot go across the water. If you look at a canoe has a V shape. Okay? It has a stern that goes all the way through the bow to the stern. It has the lowest point. You know why? So it can roll with the waves. When it tosses back and forth, it can roll. If it goes up, it can go over. If it goes down, it can roll. Larger ships are built the same way. If you ever see a ship on dry dock, they take them out. It has this huge concave V shape. In the bottom of these navigational instruments, these navigational big boats, there's instruments called a gyroscope. And the Geiger counter actually measures to make sure the ship's in balance. It's like if you're a carpenter or a handyman. You have some of these rulers that have like a measuring point where it's like a little like water inside, and it can tell if there's imbalance. Right. And what it does is that when you put it, like I put up some shelves. I take this out and I put it up. If it's out of balance, it's like this, and then you just straighten it back up to make sure it's in balance. That's what happens on ships. Well, you know, Satan is big, on another device. Another device. This device is called water torture. Does anyone know what water torture is? Anyone know what water torture is? We talked about this. We heard this in the news. I'm not sure if anybody heard of this. Waterboarding, you ever know what this is? It's in a simulation as if you're drowning. In a simulation as if you're drowning. It dulls your senses and tricks you into thinking that you have capsized. That you're being overtaken by water. That water is coming in. You could drink a glass of water and feel like you're drowning if it goes down the wrong throat. Has that ever happened to someone? All of a sudden you start coughing. You start hyperventilating. You start catching yourself. Now you may not be even in a puddle of water. You could be standing with your clothes on. That's what happens when you go through water torture. And that's what Satan does with us. We're on the ship of life and the sea of physical, emotional, mental, real life experiences. And guess what? When the ship goes left and right, water does come over the bow and the stern of the ship and come in the ship. You will get wet. Have no doubt about it. You will get wet. But if you have the Holy Spirit, if you have your gyroscope, you will not be capsized. Amen. The Lord will help keep you in balance. Here the angel came to Paul in the night season and said, you know what? All is going to be lost. This ship will be destroyed, but there will be no loss of life. No loss of life. What I'm trying to share with you, my brothers and sisters, is that we're getting to the point where we need to have our own individual gyroscopes. Our gyroscope alone cannot be our job. It cannot be our family. It cannot be our husband or wife. It cannot be our savings. Our gyroscope has to be what thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He has to be our gyroscope. Because you know what? Everything else will fail. We will have our own individual Job experiences. We may have an experience just like Paul, but there was no loss of life because Paul believed. And trust me, if Paul wasn't on the ship, that whole ship, including every other pastor's life, may very well have been lost. Amen? But because of one believer, because of one faithful believer, every person's life was spared. If he did it with Abraham, and the Lord telling Abraham of the thing that he was going to do in killing Sodom and Gomorrah, he will do it for you and me. But what is it that's going to take? You got to believe. You got to believe. My favorite verse in the whole Bible is based upon that. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son, for whosoever, what? Believeth on him. Not say, thinks of him. Not simply, well, I may hope on him. But believe on him will have everlasting life. You got to believe. And trust me, what I'm telling you, I scream with myself every day. Because as soon as I walk out of these doors, it hits me like the wind. My struggles do not go away. They come like an onslaught. But I have to believe, you know what? Just like the Lord turned the power back on in 2003 by his things that he made, he can flip the switch in your life and my life anytime he wants. Amen? We got to believe. We got to believe. We are living in a period that I'm really going to call upon you. And this is really to myself also here. That I'm realizing that things are moving much faster than we think. There's a couple ways I want to end this, but I'm going to start by saying this very quickly. And I know we have a lot of new Adventists here, so if anyone wants me to go in more detail, I will. But I'm going to show my age here a little bit. Old Adventists, we've known something that used to be called the Sunday Blue Laws. When I was a kid, I used to hear about them all the time. Oh, no. They're going to come. Everything is going to change. We're going to live in a church, state, pluralistic society where government is going to take over everything. The day we worship, our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion is going to be changed. And you know what? Through the 60s, the 70s and 80s and early 90s, there was a serious proliferation, if you will, of communication of freedom of religion across the board from Seattle to Miami, from Maine to San Diego, to make sure that freedom of religion and freedom of speech maintains its point, essential qualities that are in the Constitution of the United States of America. But you know what has happened over the last 10 years? Since 9/11, the devil has been slick. He brought back those same things under a new name called the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act. No one in the United States wants to be accused of not being a patriot. Do you want to be accused of not being a patriot? No. Do I want to be accused of not being a patriot? No. Change the name, keep the philosophy the same. What am I trying to say? Are you ready for the day where someone comes and put a padlock on this door? Are you ready for the day that someone tells you, you can't go to work today? You got to work on the seventh day. True story. Germany, one of the top five economies of the world, has a rotating work week. Did you know that? They work every 4 days, no matter what the calendar says. Then you have 2 days off. So you may work Monday through Thursday, have Friday and Saturday off. Work Sunday through Wednesday, have Thursday and Friday off. Work Saturday through Tuesday, have Wednesday and Thursday off. It is later than you think. It's here. Are you ready? Somebody may come to you and say, you know what? You can't bank today. Your day to bank, or excuse me, time to bank, Cleo, is 12 o'clock on Saturday. That's when you can go pay your bills. And by the way, they got to be paid by 5 o'clock, because if your heat bill, light bill is not paid by 5, we will shut it off at sundown. Oh, Pedro, you crazy, man. Be careful. Be real careful. Of how and what you believe in. You don't have to tell me. Matter of fact, I don't even want to know. But within your mind, within the consciousness of yourself, when you're sitting by yourself in your room, at home, at your kitchen table, be careful upon which and what you think and what you believe. Because one day, if we live long enough, we'll be calling the question. But let's end this on a good note. Because I see some faces out there looking like, oh my gracious. Oh my gracious. I hope you realize that we win in the end, don't you?
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Satan was defeated at Calvary, was he not? Revelation, the last chapter in the book of the Bible, chapter 22, verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride said, what? Come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life, what? Freely. For I testify unto you, I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in the book. He which testifies these things, surely I come quickly. Even so come the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. He is preparing a place for us that is grander than anything we can think of here on this earth. He is asking you and asking me to put our faith and hope in him, not on the institutions that we have here on this planet. Because unfortunately, the greed of men will pervert it. Now, I will tell you this, thank God. Your company may very well last as long as God decides to keep you there. I'll say it again. Your company may very well last so long as God decides to keep you there. So what I'm trying to tell you is don't worry. For I believe the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in what? Green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that means through all trials and circumstances and tribulations, I will fear no evil. Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus will be with you. It's not based upon what you see. Because our sight will be blurred by what is clouded. It won't be based upon what you hear. Because audibly, no good news will come to you. It won't be based upon what you feel, because your feelings and emotion will be scattered like the wind. It will be based upon what you know. It will be based upon what you believe. It will be based upon who and where your anchor is. Paul was saved on a ship that was destined to sink and to be destroyed because he believed. Jonah, as big of a coward as he was saved because he finally got the light in the belly of a whale. I would get the light too. I'd be like, Lord, I made a mistake. He finally, the light bulb went off. He thought, oh yeah. Nineveh, I'll be there. Just let me out. I'll be there. I'll be there first thing. Nebuchadnezzar, after being on all fours for how many years?
7 years.
Crawling on the ground like a dog. In his rabid state of mind, he said, there is a God who sets the stars in place. There is a God who created the heaven and earth. He believed. Jesus said the greatest person of faith in the New Testament was a centurion soldier. He believed, and before he left, his servant was healed. So our existence, our sustained success is based solely upon what you believe. Not by how much money you have, not by your social status, not by what side of tracks you were born on. It was based solely upon what you believe. Last Saturday night, we had the opportunity to show a movie here called The Ultimate Gift. You know, and this week I was thinking, about that movie, and I said to myself, the grandfather in the movie left a legacy to his grandson. And the legacy that he left was monetary, but the grandson had to earn it. And he taught him several things so that he can appreciate and value what he was receiving. And I was thinking, I said, you know what? What legacy did my grandfather leave my father? What my legacy my father left me? And I was talking to my brother last night, and there was a song that my father used to sing at every early morning prayer meeting. I know that's going to probably date some of us, but we used to go to early morning prayer meeting when I was a kid. That means you come to church early. Father used to be at church 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, had prayer meeting before he actually started Sabbath school. But the song my pops used to sing all the time was No Not One. It says, there's not a friend like my lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all of our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all of our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like our lowly Jesus. No, not one. And it just dawned on me, the legacy that my father has tried to leave to me and the legacy that our Heavenly Father is trying to leave to us, that ultimate gift is called faith. Faith. Jesus believed his Heavenly Father and was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed and was counted unto him for righteousness. Moses believed and was counted unto him for righteousness. And if you and I believe and have faith, it will be counted unto us as righteousness. And we will be saved. Bless you. Shall we all bow our heads? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here and to receive your word here today. Help us to work and work diligently on developing a stronger relationship with you. Help us to work and work diligently to develop more confidence and faith in a relationship with you. Help us to work to grow in your grace and understanding and to receive your word through knowledge of the truth. Help us to know the scriptures, to memorize the scriptures, to possess the scriptures, so that when our day comes, our hope will be based solely upon your word. For we pray in Christ Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.